Well, it's great to be in Peebles this Sunday. Last Sunday morning, I was preaching in India, in Chennai, in the church that Colleen Reddit commenced, particularly to reach and to include people from the slums. You know, throughout the world, we have a social system and a caste system that puts people in different boxes. And in India, they have a very pronounced caste system. And there's a group of people that would be described as untouchables, the poorest of the poor. And Colleen Reddit has a wonderful ministry amongst many of these friends. 6 soup kitchens down in the city of Chennai. Every day, 2 social workers go down into a little room and they bring in the destitute and the poor. And perhaps in each soup kitchen there would be 30 to 40 people who are given a meal, the only meal they would have in the day. And through the years, they have reached out in love to these ones and they share. I've been in these soup kitchens many times sharing the gospel, singing little Tamil songs and telling a story from the Bible. And despite their poverty and their destitution, many of them have come to understand that Jesus loves them and that Christ died for them. And many of them have had the courage, with a Hindu background, to get baptized. And so last Sunday morning I sat and my heart was touched, watching so many of them coming in to the service. We would say in our Scottish language, just shocklin' in, you know, that kind of wee body that would be so poor looking, and many a person wouldn't give them tuppence, you know. And the service was full of people like that. And alongside that elderly, kind of unloved, unwanted group, you have another group of younger people that Colleen has loved, orphans, people who've been abandoned by parents, and she has them under their care, and they're there too. And I want to speak this morning on the value of each individual, the value of each individual. And just watching the children, each one going out down to their class, every child is special and unique. I don't know if you caught it, just a few weeks ago recently, because now we get world news all the time on our televisions. We pick up stories from across the world, and there was a fascinating story recently from China. And it was the story of a couple who had lost a child. This man, Mr. Huang Mingkui and his wife, they had a little fruit store, fruit table that they sold fruit from at the side of the road. And one day when he was there at his stall, he had his little daughter with him, 3 years of age. And he went to get change at another stall. And when he came back, his wee daughter was missing. Somebody had snatched her. And he was distraught. And he began, of course, searching for her. And the story as it unfolded on television was that he with his wife had been searching for this little child for 24 years. Like the story of Madeleine McCann. Snatched, disappeared, he had no idea where this little child was. But because of his love and his devotion to his own child, he never gave up searching. And he tried every different way to make it known that she was missing. He produced posters. He put them everywhere. And then he took a job as a taxi driver, thinking that somehow someone would step into his taxi and he would recognize her. But you know, through social media, which can be a very good thing as well as a very difficult thing, the story got taken up with the Chinese social media. And one day, 24 years later, this girl saw the details on social media. She said, that's me. That's me. And by that stage, she has gone away from where her parents lived. She's got married. She has a child. And she makes inquiries and she makes her way back. And of course, the media caught that moment when she returned. And he, as a father, wrapped his arms round his daughter at 27 and said, "Your daddy loves you. And the search is over." And the joy and the celebration of parents to recover one precious child that had been stolen. It reminds me of a beautiful story told by Jesus that we're going to read now from chapter 15 of the book of Luke. So well known is this beautiful story that I have preached on it, I think, hundreds and hundreds of times. And I never tire preaching on it, because it has at the very heart of this story the message of the gospel and the truth that God, as a father, loves his child. And we're only going to read the first section. I want just to say something about the lost sheep. And so we're reading verse 1, chapter 15 of Luke. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people, the untouchables, the scum of the earth. That's how they were described. And he was even eating with them. So Jesus used this illustration. If you had 100 sheep, and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. And when you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. The teaching of Jesus through parables is a fascinating method of teaching. And sometimes we need to just stand back and get the object behind the parable. If you can picture the scene, he's in the open air, as he was his wont, teaching and preaching and meeting people, surrounded by people who were listening to him and interested in what he was saying. And so there was an inner group and an outer group of people that were listening to Jesus. And in the inner group, you have this group of people described here in the passage as tax collectors and notorious sinners. You might call them the unchurched. The people that you wouldn't associate with upright church-going people. And the outer group, you have the self-righteous Pharisees. People who think they're good living. And they're thinking, and their thoughts were, who is Jesus talking to these people who wouldn't be welcomed in the synagogue, whose lives have been wrecked by so many different ways, and they are treated as scum, as despicable, as untouchable people? And why is it that Jesus is taking time to speak to them? That's their thoughts. Jesus says, let me tell you a story. And the main thrust of the parable was for the outer people, the ring around the others, the Pharisees. And what he wanted to teach and say very clearly was this. I want you to understand that what was lost was worth saving. And so he expands this beautiful story into a three-element parable. And the emphasis, if I could just make this point, was on the fact that out of 100, one was lost, and that one was of great value. And out of the 10 pieces that the lady lost of coins, It was one that was lost, but she searched until she found it. And out of the family of two sons, one got lost. Lost in sin, lost from his father's care and love. And the Lord is emphasizing that the one that was lost, whether it be a sheep or a coin or a son, was worth saving. So we come back to our thought this morning. The value of each individual. In life, sometimes some people have such low self-esteem of themselves that they think, I'm of little value. Who cares about me? What value am I to society? What value am I to God? And so we can lose sight of the value that God places on each one of us. And in this beautiful parable, Charles Dickens, who knew something about writing short poems and short stories, he said this was the finest short story ever written. The parable of Luke chapter 15. And so I want very simply to share with you this morning about this lost sheep and see if we can identify with it in our own personal lives. And to each one of us would recognize before God this morning how valuable we are. I want us to consider, first of all, the search into the wilderness. And we'll review just what that would have entailed and what it would have been involved in. The search into the wilderness. Then I want us to think about the shepherd and the sacrifice that he made. And the Lord says he searched until he found it. He never gave up. And when we think of the shepherd, often described for us in the Bible as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. How far did the shepherd go before he found the sheep? How far did Jesus go and sacrifice his own life that he might find you and me? And I'm going to suggest this morning that he went to Calvary. He went to the cross. And he gave his life in order that you and I might be found. The search and the shepherd. And then I want us just to think briefly about the singing in heaven. The search in the wilderness. The sacrifice on the cross. And the singing in heaven. And in this parable, beyond even the first part into the second and third part, you get the whole concept that when one person finds salvation and is recovered and found, then heaven rejoices. There's a celebration in heaven. There is singing in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's where we're going this morning, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed with the word of God. The search into the wilderness. The facts are, says Jesus, if there's a shepherd who owns 100 sheep and one goes astray and gets lost in this wilderness, says he, wouldn't you leave the 99 that were safe in the fold and go and search for the one that was lost, regardless of time involved, regardless of distance that needed to be travelled or the involvement. The illustration that one lost sheep being in the wilderness is a difficult place to find something. It would convey to me an expanse that you would need to travel far and difficult terrain, the wilderness. Where do you begin the search? What route would you take through some barren wilderness to find the person that was lost? Searching under pressure can be a very stressful experience. I don't know if any of the friends here this morning have had the experience of losing a child or or a daughter or a son. For me, I will never forget the experience of losing a grandson. I have 6 grandchildren. And years ago, Benjamin was just a little boy of 4 years of age. Kathy went up Motherwell, I think, to get her hair done. And she said, "You look after Benjamin, make sure." I said, "No problem." Benjamin said, "I'd like to go out and play, Papa." I said, "Out you go, son, I keep my eye on you." So I keep looking out to see he's okay, playing with a wee girl next door. Then after some time, I just didn't look as often, then I looked and couldn't see him. So I went out thinking he'll just be around the corner. He's not around the corner. I look around quickly and there's no Benjamin. I go to the neighbour, I says, "Helena, where is Lisa?" She says, "John, I've no idea. She was playing with Benjamin." I said, "Well, I can't find them." "Oh," she says, "they'll no be far away." So we began a search round the estate. Fancy estate in Mull, not a scheme, an estate. And, you know, the neighbours are out saying, "Are you looking for..." "I'm looking for my grandson." By this stage, I was getting agitated and stressed. An hour passed. I had all the people out, searching everywhere, way up in the places you'd never have dreamed they would be. And I can tell you, it was extremely stressful. "Well, I phoned the police. What will I do? What's happened?" And the pressure then got greater because then Kathy returns from the hairdresser. "Where's Benjamin?" I said, "I've no idea. He's lost." "What?" And so the search continued. And I can tell you, I will never forget the pain and the stress. And then we went down, because we live quite near Strathclyde Park and the lake, or the loch. And we went down to, we said, "They'll never be near." Oh, that's where they were. Down to see the swans. Down to the lake. And when we found them, the two of them, two little mites, they're on the way back, quite unconcerned. "What's wrong, Papa? What's wrong?" I could choke you, but, you know, when you love your children. And I was just so relieved to find them. And so the lesson from that is very simple. How long has God been searching for you? If this morning spiritually you're lost, you're separated, you're away from God, and you're out of contact, but God has been searching and looking for you to find you, God will continue that search as long as it's possible. Benjamin didn't realize he was lost. He was unconcerned. As a little child, he just was enjoying watching the swans. And so many people, they are unaware that spiritually they are lost. I mean spiritually, away from God. And so people live their lives unconcerned until suddenly the Holy Spirit awakens within them their spiritual state and need. And when we realize we're lost, we need to be found. A Chinese believer was being congratulated on becoming a Christian. Someone said to him, as they say in evangelical language, "I'm glad to hear that you've found Christ." He said, "No." He said, "Christ not lost. I was the one that was lost. Christ find me." And so we understand in a sense that it is the work of the Holy Spirit searching that we might be found. And often, God in his search for us, sometimes, even as Christians, we can get away, astray, just from God. And God has to search and find us. God uses, normally, the Bible, the Word of God, in his search program. But often, he has to use other ways of finding people. I've been reading recently fascinating stories of people from an Islamic background in different parts of the world. And people have come to realize the truth about Christ and God through dreams and revelations and all different circumstances that come into their life. This is God searching. Recently I was in in Spain preaching for a weekend at Easter. And there was a lovely young man from Poland who had just recently become a Christian. And when he was telling his testimony, it was fascinating because he had no knowledge of God from his background. But, you know, he was obsessed with playing these games on his phone. And in a remarkable way, he said he got a message from God through his phone on one of these games. And it troubled his conscience. And that trigger of whatever it was caused them to come to a Christian and say, I need to ask about God. And so God uses sometimes, whether it be our phones or cinema or films or many different or dreams of revelation or whatever. If we're not listening to the word of God in the Bible, God will use whatever means to find us. And he's searching for us. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. God can see, and God is searching and looking for us. And so, the loneliness of being lost is no picnic. The New Zealanders who know something about sheep, because there's more sheep in New Zealand than there are people, and shepherds that I would know in New Zealand say, if you take a sheep half a mile from its fold and its location, it has no way of finding its way back. It has no knowledge or initiative to find its own way back. And it's dangerous to stray from God because it's not easy to get back. And God has to search us and bring us back. Let's think for a moment, not only about the search into the wilderness, because sometimes people, I've heard folks who were Christians and then they got away from the Lord, and we often describe that as backsliding. And they've described it as, I was in the wilderness for many years. May God help us to be in the fold, the shepherd, and the sacrifice that he makes. Let us be clear that the Lord doesn't abandon the 99 that was in the fold. He made sure they were safe before he went in search of the one that was lost. The shepherd has a heart of love and compassion for the lost one. So the question is, how far will the shepherd go, regardless of time and distance? He will search until he finds the one that's lost. The good shepherd we've referred to already. He was willing to leave heaven and come to earth and go from Bethlehem to Nazareth to Jerusalem and to Calvary. The Son of Man, says the Bible, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the sacrifice that Jesus made involved him going all the way to the cross, dying for our sins, as the Bible clearly states. Christ died for our sins. And the Lord, I was just thinking, so many different examples of recent time illustrates the sacrifice that some people make to save others. Recently, you'll remember the story of a terrorist down in the south of France, killed a few people in a supermarket, took a lady hostage and ready to kill. And one French policeman said, please let the lady go. Take me in her place. And he did, remarkably. Let the lady go, and he took the policeman, and of course, he ended up dead. He's recognized by the French government as being a hero, a man that was willing to give his life for someone else. My friend, Jesus Christ, gave his life for you and me. That's so clear from the gospel. One of the great old hymns that we don't sing nowadays, but it's a lovely old hymn. It says there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills far away, far off in the cold and dark, away in the mountains wild and bare, away from the shepherd's tender care. One of the verses we often quoted from that great hymn. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Out in the bleak desert he heard its cry, all bleeding and helpless and ready to die. The story behind that hymn is an amazing story. It was a poem that was in a newspaper in 1874 when two American evangelists, Mr. D.L. Moody and Mr. Sankey, his soloist, were in Glasgow preaching the gospel. And they were invited to Edinburgh. And they were going through in the train, and that morning Sankey bought a newspaper to see if there was any news about America. But there was no news about America in a Scottish newspaper. And he was sitting in the train, and his eye spied this poem. And he said, Mr. Moody, here's a beautiful poem. And Moody was so preoccupied, he never even heard Sankey quote the poem. But Sankey, he decided, I'm going to take that. And he cut the little poem out of the newspaper and put it in his pocket. Then forgot about it. And when they were in Edinburgh having a service, preaching the gospel, Moody, in his own inimitable style, said to Sankey, give me a closing hymn for this meeting. And in a flash, Sankey says, if we sing the Lord's my shepherd, which was suitable for the message, everybody knows it and they'll all join in. And in a flash, the Holy Spirit said, sing the poem. And he pulled the poem out of his pocket, put it in his wee harmonium, and he prayed, Lord, give me a tune for these words. And he began somehow to play the tune. And if I was a singer, I would sing it to you. But I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to attempt it. But it's a beautiful kind of melody about the lost sheep. And Sankey says the Holy Spirit used that in a powerful way at the end of that service. The shepherd who went through the agony of the cross that he might rescue the sheep that was lost. And so the story as it unfolds, the parable, the shepherd, having found that lost sheep, returns with it on his shoulder, calls his friends, neighbours, rejoice with me, he says. Be glad with me, for that that was lost has been found. And then the Lord adds this beautiful touch to say that when a lost sinner repents and comes home to God, then the angels sing and celebrate. What a wonderful, wonderful conclusion to the work of Christ, to set the angels in heaven singing. I wonder if there's someone this morning, just one person. And in reality, you may have come to church and you may have thought for many years, I'm a Christian. But I wonder if there's been a moment when you've really found the Lord and he has found you and you've trusted Christ, or it may be that in your heart you've been away, strayed away. And through this little message, the Lord just has touched your heart. He wants to bring you back. And if that is the case, then there is singing in heaven as they rejoice with us, because it brings honour and glory to the Lord Jesus. Whoever you are this morning, whatever age you may be, whatever your circumstances are, let me invite you to go home and recognise once more the value of each individual. If for a Chinese couple it took them 24 years of searching to find the daughter that was lost, the tears, the emotions, the joy, the rejoicing at that story. And so each of us, we need to just remember the value that we are to God.